and gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you think if the Panthers were first overall right now, they would swap out Bryce Young for Caleb Williams, Mel Kiper?
It's a great question. Guess what? Justin Fields would have been with the Bears, and the Bears would have been happy moving forward with him.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, NFL Network reporter Steve Wyche, creator of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tom Pelissero in hour number one. Steve Wyche, my colleague who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day for NFL Network, NFL Media, NFL Plus, because we're plussing stuff up.
Plus.
He's about to join us right here on the show. Larry David is making his way to the studio as we speak. He will be with us in the third hour of the program. And I have been told, last time he was on here, remember he said get rid of the goalposts? Remember he went on that that screed?
Commissioner.
I've been told he's advanced his cause.
Oh, yes.
Baby. Of the goalposts?
Trying to get rid of
Kick
and field goals and extra points. I can't wait for him to express all of that. Hour number three.
Best laugh ever.
Three episodes of Curb left.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, not enough. Not enough.
I would agree. We'll see if he does. I think he's done.
You think we could talk him into one more?
Let's see. We've got our, and we have our usual thing with him where we've got a whole bunch of social situations that he has to play judge and jury for. It'll be great. That's an hour number three. Joining us here now, though, via Zoom. From the NFL Network, NFL Media Group. And again, we plus it up. We plus it up here. He plussed it up yesterday on NFL Plus. He was part of the coverage of Caleb Williams Pro Day at USC. Steve Wyche, good to see our chief national reporter back here. Good to see you, Steve. How you doing?
Good seeing you, Rich. Are you trying to say that Larry David might be full? A la Aaron Donald?
He might be. He's full. After 12 seasons, he's full. That's correct. But after 10 for Aaron Donald. So what was the pro day like? What were your impressions?
It was real interesting, Rich, and I'll kind of put it to you this way. First off, you know, all 31 teams were there. The Bears were deep. They had probably seven or eight people from their coaching staffs and personnel staffs were there. But, Rich, you know, most pro days, when you have a quarterback, they're trying to dazzle, right? They're trying to show you that they can rip it outside the numbers to the opposite hash, that they can throw it deep, that they can roll out, that they can play under center. Caleb's pro day was more of a showcase of this is what I can do when everything's working fine around me. I'm going to keep it in the pocket. He did 50 throws almost exclusively from the pocket, about 60% from shotgun, about 40% from simulated under center. And he wasn't trying to make the big throws. Yeah, there were some deep throws. There were some really just beautiful rocket balls outside of the numbers. But again, it seemed like he wanted to show these teams what he could do when things were calm. Because, you know, on film at USC, especially last season, rarely were the C's settled when he dropped back to pass. So it was really kind of a, as our Daniel Jeremiah said, a salad type of pro day in terms of like the full entree with dessert.
Okay. So for those who don't eat greens, what does that mean?
Steve. So I think that means like, hey, look, nothing fancy here. Let's just go out again. Let me show you that I've got the big arm. You can see me move. You didn't see me do this at the combine, but again, there's plenty of tape. You saw what I had to do at USC where I had to evade the pocket and two tacklers while making all of these spectacular off platform and off schedule plays. Let me again show you that I can rip, you know, I can rip the Texas route, you know, to the running back. I can stick it to the slot receiver on a 15-yard dig. I can hit somebody on a 17-yard out, but I can also throw, as our old friend Mike Mack likes to say, the bang eight, you know, the deep route that goes, you know, straight down the field. And again, part of the other thing was how engaging he was, not with just his teammates, but the staff personnel. And Rich, you know, that is a huge thing for someone who to bring a 22-year-old into their building, pay them tens of millions of dollars. And they want them to be able to walk in and speak to the people in the cafeteria and speak to the people who are cleaning up their equipment and also get along with teammates who a lot of them could be 10 years older than him.
Yeah, and he did that at the combine too. He thanked everybody who ran drills. He turned the lights out on that Saturday night. And this, the photograph we have up on the screen, it's still up there for a reason. because he's gripping the football with his left hand with a smile on his face. He was warming up, throwing spirals left-handed, Steve. What was up with that?
He's just that talented. And Rich, we've seen him, you know, even when he was back at Oklahoma playing for Lincoln Riley, and things were much more on schedule than how they had to be last season at USC.
Right. Yeah.
So I think he was just like, hey, I've got it. I can do the Mahomes stuff. Again, that's the comp. When you see a lot of the baseball type of throws and things that he can do in the big arm and just the spectacular ability that he has. So we saw him punt the ball to kind of button up his pro day. So he was just doing a lot of things. But I think at the same time, he was trying to keep it light for his handful of teammates who were also trying to impress these scouts and trying to make them not feel that they were under any pressure because he knows he's going to be the first pick. But he also wanted to make sure that they look good so they can get a shot in the NFL as well.
Steve Weitz here, fresh off of the USC Pro Day coverage on NFL Plus right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just said it. He knows he's going to be the first pick. He does, right? You think it's been communicated like legitimately already?
It was – well, I got to tell you, it was hard not to think that just watching the interaction of what happened there. Like, who did he go see right after he finished throwing, after he hugged up his teammates? Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, the head coach and general manager of the Bears, his head coach at USC, Lincoln Riley, who was standing with Poles and Eberflus while most of this workout was going on, that he went and shook hands with other people on the staff. Yes, he did shake hands with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders, who have the second overall pick. But, you know, you saw him, Keenan Allen showed up, right? Rich, this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. A veteran player gets traded, mm-hmm. right, to the Bears, wide receiver. He shows up at his pro day, right? So Caleb said that they had a relationship because Keenan Allen, of course, played for the Chargers here in L.A., and so they had a prior relationship. But Keenan could have been doing 4 million other things, and he came to see what likely will be his next quarterback go through this process. So, again, the Bears, I spoke to somebody with them. They arrived in town Monday. They met with Caleb. They went to dinner. They were the only team to do so as Caleb put off scheduling any other meetings until after the pro day. So, again, if I'm connecting the dots and reading the tea leaves and everything else, this seems like the draft starts at 2 with Washington because number 1 is pretty buttoned up.
No doubt, man. I got that sense, too, just at the combine even. And I imagine – that's the only way a Cal Bear is going to show up at USC's pro day, right?
Right, exactly. Well said.
otherwise, they would be a very warm place. They have to freeze over for that to happen. And that's the sense too, is what a setup for Caleb with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift in the running back room. And, you know, $60 million in cap space to potentially maybe sign somebody here, there, get a nice mid-season acquisition, even, you know, they went ahead and got Montez Sweat last year. And that's the other point too, is how supremely talented they are on that side of the football. This is a great setup for Caleb. So I don't understand the conversation about pulling an Eli or Willie pulling Eli. Like he does, right. You already made the face. I mean, he's kind of all in here, don't you think, with the Bears as well?
It really seems so. And, Rich, don't forget the Bears have the 9th overall pick as well. So they've got some ability to trade back and get pieces and use that to get, you know, maybe one of the best pass rushers to go with Sweat on a rookie contract. You know, I actually asked Caleb, I was like, look, do you fully expect to go to Chicago? And he was like, good question. Like, how am I going to answer this without saying yes? And he was like, well, I'll put it to you this way. They, you know, things can happen. They could still trade the pick, things like that, you know. Like, he's giving every scenario so he didn't come off as saying that, yeah, I fully expect to go to Chicago. But like you said, it seems like he's all in. All this conversation of, you know, he should pull an Eli. Like, why? They set their team up to some degree better than C.J. Stroud had set up, you know, in Houston. People forget that Stroud went to a team that had a pretty strong, you know, offensive line with Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard and players like that. Now, no one knew his receivers were going to show up the way they did. Well, we know the Bears receivers have got a history of being pretty good. And like you said, the back half of last season, Matt Eberflus got that defense playing very well once they acquired Montez Sweat. So he is not walking into a situation like, you know, that we saw, you know, Bryce Young walk into in Carolina last year. So, I mean, I think the Bears should feel pretty good about bringing in a super talented player like this at a position that they have not been able to settle for decades.
Yeah, I mean, and just to, I guess, bolster that point, Steve, the setup that Bryce Young had last year in Carolina is what's allowing the Bears to draft Caleb Williams. I mean, let's be straight up about that. So,
yep.
Steve White here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Commanders crew was there as well, right, heading to the Michigan Pro Day. What do you think their plans are? As you just mentioned, you think the draft starts at 2 now that Caleb is in virtual Sharpie to Chicago.
Right, yeah. So I spoke to head coach Dan Quinn. He's like, look, we're going to all the quarterback workouts. I don't see how they don't draft a quarterback at number 2. I mean, they saw what happened, you know, last couple of years. They drafted a quarterback in the later rounds, and now Sam Howell and all these guys are gone. Now, who will it be? Like, you don't know if it's going to be Drake May. You don't know if it's going to be Jaden Daniels. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, the OC, was at Caleb's workout. You know, he coached Caleb last year at USC.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he likes quarterbacks, you know, who can move a little bit. He likes quarterbacks who've got some stuff to them. You know, think about guys he's coached, you know, like Baker Mayfield, like Kyler Murray. So, again, we'll see exactly how that's going to shake out. But then you look at their running back room right now. We got Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson. So they're going to be a run-first football team as well, but they've got targets for receivers. So, again, it's not the worst circumstance for a rookie quarterback to come into, even though I think Washington is in the beginning process of flipping its roster a little bit more than the Bears are. But, again, it seems – all the way that they are going quarterback with the second pick.
No, I mean, Washington was quite active in free agency as well. And they, you know, you don't sign Bobby Wagner thinking you have a rebuild. You know what I'm saying? Or nor does Bobby Wagner sign with Washington if they feel like this is just going to be another year to kind of, you know, get to where you want to go. And I guess they assume Jaden Daniels will be ready, or you hear Drake May needs a redshirt year. I mean, there's so much conversation on that front. The Patriots there at 3, do they stick and pick? Do they trade out? Do the Giants trade up? The Vikings went ahead and got a second first-round draft choice, and that's not for just trying to make sure that they'll have a shot at the best player available at, what, 23? Right. You know, like that's not what that you do that for. So what was the conversation amongst everybody standing around watching the workout yesterday on that story,
you know,
Steve?
That's a great point. I mean, a lot of conversation is, okay, Arizona's at 4. They hold the golden ticket right now because that's where they think people are going to trade out. They think the top 3 picks, as you mentioned, you know, you've got Chicago, you've got Washington, New England. Everyone thinks those 3 picks are going quarterback. And then Arizona's got the 4th pick. Is Minnesota going to come up and use that 4th pick on, let's say, a J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, right? Some people might say they're overdrafting, but they may say, well, we're in this run of it's Minnesota, it is Denver, and the Raiders at 11 and 12 and 13. We've got to get up and get ourselves a quarterback because those 2 teams need to get quarterbacks as well. Do you come up to 4? Does Arizona trade back? And if they don't get Marvin Harrison Jr., who everyone's kind of projecting them to, you know, maybe they get Malik Nabers out of LSU or one of the better available players, plus pick up a draft pick. So, again, a lot of the conversation, you know, that wasn't quarterback-centric at the pro day, I heard it was like that number 4th pick looks like a very, very sweet spot. Arizona can get out, and that looks like where whomever would have to trade up to.
Yeah, and then last one for you, Steve. I've been asking this of everybody these days because certainly when you quarterback to start a draft, we saw that in 2021, and how'd that work out for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
So, and, you know, that's not fair. Trevor Lawrence is I think, in a position to truly succeed and take another step forward after what happened last year. But that's my long wind-up for this pitch here, and I'm asking everybody, now that we saw Justin Fields traded away so Caleb Williams can get drafted, let's just say Ryan Poles somehow had one Achilles heel in this roster build, and that wasn't getting a first-round draft choice in this year's draft from Carolina, and Carolina did have the first overall pick in this draft, and the way that you're seeing young quarterbacks get discarded so fast, and do you think – if Carolina did have the first overall pick, they would swap out Bryce Young for Caleb Williams now?
I mean, that's a great question. Oh, so let's just say everything else remains the same, that Dave Canales is the head coach.
Yes, sir.
I don't think they would do it. I think they would trade out because Canales is the new quarterback whisperer, right? He's the guy who got Russell Wilson playing his best football in Seattle. He's the guy who got Geno Smith having his best season in Seattle. he's the first guy to get Baker over 4,000 yards. So I think if that were the case, if Carolina had the pick, they would trade out and they would still go with Price because they believe in Dave Canales.
Okay. All right, Steve. Appreciate your two cents there. Let's get you back in studio next time. I know you got what do you got going on today, Steve?
We're getting ready to take the NFL report. James Palmer and I, and we've got a good show. Kenny Moore on. We're going to talk a little bit about Caleb. We're going to have Brian Baldinger on. And then Lance Zuerlein, one of our draft analysts, is going to be on, Rich, telling us about the best pass rushers. We're not talking about the guys.
No, we're not.
Back enough. So that's going to be good stuff.
On NFL Plus, catch out the NFL report. Say hi to James and his hair. As if that's not enough, I just had Pelissero on last hour. He and James Palmer, James Palmer would have a pomade off. You know, that's for sure. Steve, great to see you. Thanks again. Appreciate it. That's Steve Weich. Everybody check out the NFL report on NFL Plus, which you can do right here on Roku. Yeah, I said it yesterday leading the show, and I'll repeat it here again, mostly because I was proven correct. Listen. Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear, and the Chicago Bears, even if Jaden Daniels looks like the second coming, it's going to be Caleb Williams. I'm sure there will be a lot of higher register, like, hey, Jaden Daniels looked pretty good. But they're not taking Caleb to dinner. I mean, Carolina took everyone to dinner last year. I'm just saying they're not taking Caleb to dinner and dapping him up and trading away Justin Fields only to get second thoughts. Because it's not like Caleb Williams, I think, is giving them any reason to have second thoughts. The aspect that Steve hit on there that I thought was very keen analysis is him showing off he's a good dude. He's there for his teammates. He's there for this. He's talking to everybody. He's chatting up everybody. Now, you could sit here and say it's all an act. You never know anybody anymore. But he was at the combine on that Saturday night, and that was a long day. And it's an early morning the next day. Do you know every single prospect that worked out at the combine had to stay overnight? Sometimes they would just let him go. Sometimes in previous combines. They all had to stay overnight to get a drug test at 6 in the morning the next day. So, and every day starts early at the combine. And I know Caleb Williams didn't work out, but he turned the lights out. He stuck around to watch the other USC guys work out. And then he did go up to everybody and said, thank you for running the drills.
Yeah, I saw a video of that.
Now, you could say again, that's an act. You got to prove that you're a good guy. But that does go a long way. You're going to give somebody all these millions of dollars. You don't want an a-hole in your organization. You just don't, no matter how good the guy might be on the field. Certainly, if things are close enough that you do like Jaden Daniels, too, I just don't think this is going to spin out in another direction. This is Caleb Williams to Chicago. And Chicago Bears fans, I think, are having trouble computing it right now.
Understandable.
You know, like yesterday, Adam Chudwin, our call screener, the resident Chicago Bears fan, is just like looking at his phone, kind of like, oh, wow, look at that. And he's, I think it's beginning to dawn on him.
What's about to happen?
What's potentially about to happen? Because Bears fans do have the, you know, cauterized wounds of some other quarterbacks that didn't pan out. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky, that might be the whole. If Caleb Williams is the guy that we're expecting him to be, that would finally, I think, take the Mitchell Trubisky
stench.
Well, I guess the stench, hold on a minute. I'll say this potentially right, although the post-traumatic Trubisky disorder.
PTTB.
I don't know.
I was just going to say wounds of Trubisky.
Wounds of Trubisky is a great. It's the wounds of Trubisky. Which is, I think, was that a Simon and Garfunkel song? Is that on the flip side of Sounds of Silence?
It's the B-side.
Wounds of Trubisky. So I think Caleb would finally get that out of the minds of, we traded up to get a quarterback, and Mahomes was left on the board. as if you knew what Mahomes is going to turn into. Nobody knew what Tom Brady would turn into. That's the vagaries of the draft, in the same way that you know, the Jets thought they were made in the Zach Wilson shade, and Trey Lance was going to bring some sort of a quarterback 2.0 game to San Francisco. I get it. I understand. But I think, Bears fans, you should realize, trust me, I wish the Jets were sitting in this position, being able to get Caleb Williams. You too, with New England. It's the exact answer,
so
what you're looking for. And the neat part about it for you Bears fans is it's not like the 1-15 or 1-16, you know, house has been totally torched down to the ground. Like, the whole thing is needing to be built up, similar to what Carolina's got to do right now. Instead, Ryan Poles has had a couple of years head start and has, in fact, utilized last year's trade so brilliantly and has added some pieces in free agency. And I remember when Roquan Smith got traded away, we were even wondering, what's he up to? Why would you take somebody like him? That's the guy you build around. They have done a great job. And the back end of that defense is young and ball hawking. The front end of that defense can rush the passer. Eberflus is the guy who runs that side of the ball. We will see if Shane Waldron can Shane Waldron find the offense to unlock this kid? And can the offensive line protect? Because you know the receivers and weapons are there to receive. And the running game does appear to be ready to roll. So Williams isn't just strolling into some spot and hope he's the savior. We got to hope he does it himself. Not at all.
It's got weapons.
Like, it has been set up. It's been set up. So I think that would be my message. It's been set up. This is not a setup. Mitchell Trubisky's not walking through that door. Caleb Williams is, and I think that's a significant difference.
Come on,
this
get
just
happy.
In. Come on, get happy. Who's the Reuben Kincaid then? I don't know who that is. I guess that's Eberflus.
That would be Eberflus.
Or is it George McCaskey? He's the Reuben Kincaid of this thing?
Well, all right. No, I think,
you and I need to stop having this conversation because people do not know what we're talking about. I know you're talking about. Okay, very good.
Hey, Partridge Family over the Brady Bunch any day is what I say.
All right, we'll come back. We'll update on what's going on in the NCAA tournament. Two games are in the mix. Larry David making his way to our set.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Larry David, we've done this before with you. I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would... An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers, Ken Tulo,
Okay.
They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's still
it's a perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it. Mm-hmm. It's different if the host didn't see it, then you can sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if you placed it on the table and there's no note,
yeah,
that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry. LD, shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane?
I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay? You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house. All right? You're outside. You're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of minutes. Keep your shoes on.
We've got more situations for Larry coming up in hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Back here, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, we have some scoring updates right now. TJ Jefferson's final four team to come out of the West.
Here it comes.
Michigan State.
Comes. I'm just going to play the beginning.
Up 37-29 on Mississippi State. They're doing their usual thing of playing tough defense and making shots a little bit in transition. Also going through some like scoring droughts to make things a little bit more difficult. But they just turned Mississippi State over again. Like, this is what they do.
Tried to tell you.
And we're about to be at the first TV timeout mark, and they're now up by 10.
Easy work.
We all have Michigan State winning this game in our brackets.
And my mom texted me and said that she picked Mississippi State.
Sorry, Mary Brockman. Well, I mean, it's still time to go here.
It's still a lot of time to go here,
but this is what Michigan State does. They just play defense. They're just really tough. It's just tournament tested. And Tom Izzo is just, well, I don't want to put the Ziggy on him. BYU's down 9 right now with 2:25 to go. Duquesne.
First upset alert.
Duquesne. That's 11 on a 6.
Yeah,
is that even upset anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. In the NCAA tournament, I mean.
11 is the new 12.
11 seed? That's pretty good,
11 is the new 12 right now.
It's creeping up. It's creeping the other way, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Come on now. These teams are so evenly matched these days. 5-12 used to be like, look out, like somebody.
Matched.
They are.
By the way, who else here picked Duquesne to win that game?
I took BYU.
I took Duquesne too, so everybody just needs to relax. Everybody just go back to your homes. There's nothing to see here just yet.
Guys, I can remember back in the day, like in my early 20s, like this day, the first day of the tournament.
Bro,
we would call off. I called off work at Foot Locker a month in advance. Me and my boys would go to a bar at 8 a.m., wouldn't leave till 7.
But at least you gave your employers at the Foot Locker a little heads up. You just didn't go, I'm not feeling too well.
Yeah, I didn't just not show up on the
day. No blue flu for you, sir.
And have a replacement come.
Good for you.
Mike, are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Right, I don't know.
Well, you can't say 100%.
No, I'm going to Vegas, I think, for the weekend. I watched the two games there.
Is that what you're doing?
I remember those days
when I used to be able to go to Las Vegas.
Last weekend off.
Sit in the sports book.
Tomorrow night for a night?
Huh?
Should we just go for the night tomorrow?
Yeah, just for S's and giggles.
But that's not, no, I can't, that's not, you know, I don't do these things anymore.
Why not, Rich?
Because the NFL, I'm a corporate stooge.
Oh, that's true.
But what I'll do is I'll loan.
Off season.
Here's what I'll do for you. Here's what I'll do for you. I'll loan you my interpreter.
Thank you. Will he pay us? That's for it.
By the way, you know how attractive that job is if that guy got
all
fired?
All these jokes are free reign now, by the way.
What do you mean?
All these jokes are now in play because of this.
Yeah.
What jokes?
Interpreter jokes.
I legitimately have an interpreter on staff.
Great.
Because
sometimes people, when they sit in this chair, they're not fluent in Del Tufo, and we have to give them a little help when they sit in this chair. Susie doesn't need a Del Tufo interpreter. She knows you. She's locked up. She thinks we're too hard on Mike Del Tufo.
Fluent in Del Tufo.
No, be hard on him.
Well, I mean, sometimes.
Stewardess, I speak Del Tufo.
You definitely, hey, Rich, you definitely speak.
Uber drivers 1,000,000,000% speak Del Tufo.
Yeah, because
he sits in the front seat like a lunatic.
I rode next to a guy this weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You sat
Yeah, Uber this Black. Weekend. Was it a big dome SUV?
It was a giant SUV, and you sat in the front seat?
Yeah. I would get creeped out by that. We had a good conversation.
About what?
Said, I'm going to give you five, brother. I went five stars.
What did you talk about?
Brother.
Is it wrong that I think it's sociopathic to get into an Uber and just sit in the front seat?
Is it wrong that you think that? No, but it does reflect.
What is he
going
to say? No, I don't want you sitting here.
Yes, there are guys that will say no.
Well, a lot of people, they have all their stuff.
Yeah, so you got to make a move.
You know why they have all their stuff in the front seat? Because they don't think anybody would ever want to sit in the front seat.
Also, Rich, the front seat, they usually slide the whole way up. Because they
like right
away, but okay.
Exactly, because they want to make sure that the comfort level for their passengers who are going to sit in the proper seat,
which is behind,
has
them.
The proper leg room. So I understand that. And if
short ride.
And I imagine, like, if a driver would see like five people stroll up,
he'll get it. Like, somebody's
then they'll
the
start removing their material because they'll understand what the layout's going to be, and someone's going to have to sit up front. But it's just one passenger, and they say, would you mind if I sit up front?
It would be just like,
are you
it was a short
a
ride.
Sociopath?
No, he was fine. He was fine.
Honestly.
Well, of course he's going to tell you he's fine, Mike, because he wants
a tip. No.
Yeah, no, and he wants five stars.
I got five back, brother. Boom.
I guess that's the way it works.
I got five on it.
Does Patrick Bateman just say, I'll sit up front?
He probably would, because that's... like a sociopathic
You want to listen to Huey Lewis.
Buffalo Bill wants to sit up front.
I don't think
Buffalo Bill gets out of the house, right?
He has his own song that he wants to hear when he's driving.
Seriously, man. You know, we'll have to ask Larry David about this in hour three.
Oh, this is actually, yes.
Oh, wow, that'd be a good one. Right?
Yes, add that in. He'll probably be very anti up front.
I don't know.
Who knows?
With him, you don't know.
Yeah, you can't really.
Can't with him, you don't know.
Can't predict.
Cannot predict with
you're
him.
Right.
I mean, you can assume.
I also want to ask how many fantasy teams is too much.
I don't think he cares, quite frankly.
No, he's not a fantasy guy.
Dude,
Creighton and Akron are underway.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Tied at six. Michigan State is up 43-29, and here comes the first. Did they just have their first TV timeout, or they took it?
The Kane BYU's closing
in. The Mississippi State fans are sitting there going, what is hitting us right now? Oof. What's hitting you is Tom Izzo, man.
The 8-9 is a tough one.
Or the 2x4.
Because either those teams are the
Mississippi State's coach looks like an older, slightly taller version of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Wow, I want to see him again.
Like if Gary was 10 years older and maybe a couple of inches taller.
Gary V.
Gary V. Our friend.
Okay.
Gary V.
Okay.
Yeah, Long Beach State and Arizona getting going. Dan Monson. Hey, do you get that soundbite ready? Because we're going to play this for Larry. At least we have the plans to do this. We never know with him. You know, Dan Monson got fired.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He gets fired by Long Beach State, and they say you could still coach. I guess I'd love to know the mechanics of that. And then Long Beach State wins its conference tournament. You know, had no business doing it. I'm sure the athletic director and the folks there didn't think in a million years they would do it. They did it. Now he's showing up as the 15th seed, Long Beach State, taking on Arizona. Okay. Which I have winning the West region. So he's now coaching in the NCAA tournament.
What if they
a week after he thought he got fired?
What if they win a couple games, go to like the Elite Eight or something?
How do you not rehire him, right?
And if you're Monson... do you tell him to pound sand?
I think so. Because listen, he showed up with an edge at his press conference. Listen to how he started his press conference on Wednesday.
I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for free today. So it's like you guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't lose his job and still going to work every day. And That's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life. Is it an opening statement? Was that it? What do we got going? Yeah, well, I think you nailed it, Coach.
That could be a new drop.
I think you nailed it, Coach.
Now, the two episodes, is he conflating episodes? Because George was was being recruited by the Mets when he was with the Yankees, and he tried to get fired by the Yankees so he could go to the Mets.
Behind
right.
his car
and he tried to get fired, and George wouldn't fire him. Right.
But there was one where he was he working for the
Play
the,
Now?
The sports thing.
Right, where he quit, and then Kramer told him just go back to work, which is what Larry David did in real life when he angrily quit
Saturday Night Live
and then rethought his decision. And I think the real Cosmo Kramer
told him
just go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one will remember.
No one will remember.
So is he conflating the two episodes? Or
perhaps. Or he might be combining. But George did try to quit.
Right.
And they wouldn't get fired. Because was that the one where Wilhelm was in the cult?
I don't know. But that's why we have, I guess, Larry coming in studio in hour three to clean this all up.
The cleaning cult that wouldn't hire George.
How do they come up with this stuff, man?
It's insane.
Best show
it
ever.
Really is.
Best show ever.
Honestly.
And it's literally stuff that's right in front of your face.
And it's still, like, but it's still funny. It's 30 years later,
really
it's still
happens.
Funny.
I know.
It's still funny.
I want my kids to start watching it. But there are some episodes that are not kid friendly. And also, right. but there are some, I would love to see what their reaction is, like, because there are some episodes that could not take place today because of technology.
Right. Right. Like, you just text someone and find out where they are.
Right.
Or what,
like,
they're doing.
Where George had to go make the payphone call at the Chinese restaurant.
Right. Or even the Chinese restaurant episode.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Seinfeld 4. Like, I mean.
Right. Or couldn't find the car in the mall parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. Now it would be just, Dad, just check your app.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you ping your car.
You take a picture of where you're parked, you know, on your phone.
Right.
Super easy. Yeah. Yeah.
And wasn't that what was the one where they went to Madison Square Garden? They wind up going with, like, the Nazi.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
To Madison Square Garden in the limousine.
They're stuck in the back of the limousine with the guy. Yeah.
Well, I think it was Peter Krause, I think.
Yeah, he was in there.
Right?
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, we're ready for Larry. We just had our pre-Larry conversation.
Uh-huh. Our pre-show Larry.
I just posted a little clip from the group chat on our Instagram story just now.
And, which is what?
Where he and the guy at the end of the show were, Larry was getting yelled at about not partaking in the group chat.
Oh, so yes.
That scene.
That one that just had, this is an episode this past
so
week.
Funny.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So it's on our IG story.
We've Check all been, I don't want to say here because, you know, then I'd out my group chat I was definitely didn't want to be part of anymore.
This one?
No, not ours.
I'm not part of yours anymore. I'm actually
Everybody's been looped into group chats with people that, you know.
You know, who are these people? And then the numbers.
You don't have the numbers.
Yeah,
just
like,
know you. I know that.
Yeah, what are we doing?
It's like, who is 976?
Yeah.
And you want to say to the people what Larry David said on Sunday's episode of Curb. You want to get that out. It really was cathartic for me to watch that scene.
Group chat, no name.
Honestly.
What are we doing?
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Larry David's coming to the studio in hour number three.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program. Okay, Mississippi State's down 10.
Ugh. Yikes.
BYU down 8 at the half. And Creighton and Akron are going at it. I'm telling you, 3 versus 14. The 3 versus 14s are going to be tight.
Is that the new 5-12?
I think they are.
Interesting.
We're going in the other direction now. 5-12 is just like, you know, dog bites man. I shouldn't use that phrase. My dogs don't bite anybody.
No.
That you know of.
No,
I know.
They don't.
Excuse me. If we're going to be putting dog up for dog here, who's going to be more willing to, you know?
I don't know what that means.
Your dog versus my two ladies?
What are we doing? What do you mean?
If this was an NCAA tournament bracket,
Oh, Maverick wins. Maverick is the UConn. Maverick is the sixth seed.
The Husky wins every time.
No, but in all seriousness, though, 5 versus 12 used to be so shocking.
Oh, my goodness. Now it happens all the time.
Right, so 4 versus 13, you got to go a little bit more in the other direction. We've already seen now multiple, right?
2 16s have won
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 2 16s have won now.
And Akron's going to just take Creighton to the limit.
Although,
words
on.
I've never said before.
Hold on. So Virginia lost in the first round as a one and then won the championship the next year. Purdue lost as a one last year.
Look out.
Purdue to win the whole thing now.
I'm with you.
Right?
Yeah. By the way, CBS or TBS just showed Steph Curry video when he was at Davidson. Do you remember that?
Oh, his
remember
baby. Wow. Speaking of 155 dude, pounds.
Dude, do you remember him at Davidson?
Yeah.
It was obvious, wasn't it?
No one had ever heard of him.
I mean, know that, just, but it was obvious how special he was, though.
No, it wasn't this that he was going to turn out to be this.
No, but you could tell he was special.
He was
like,
nice.
I wanted the Knicks to get him in the worst way.
But not where he is today. I never could have.
No. Like, he's top 10 all the time.
Oh, I did. Check
now.
The tape.
What are you, LeBron?
Check the tape. Just, wow. Game time tickets. Make sure you get your game time tickets app on your mobile device right here and right now, because you get killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and a best price guarantee when you go and check out tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. The next big event, it's sitting right there for you to go visit and go see on the Game Time Tickets app. See the view from your seat before you buy. All in prices show your total up front. Guesswork is totally removed when you buy tickets in just two taps with Game Time. So download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Create an account and redeem your code RICH and get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Aaron Donald just spoken. Where did he speak? I saw this soundbite, but I don't know on what forum this was. He posted this on his Twitter site. But this is him explaining why he decided, because, I mean, this guy looks like he can give you a full game of snaps right now.
Of course.
But 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years in.
10 Pro Bowls, 8 All-Pros, 3 Defensive Player of the Years.
And Rookie Defensive Player of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. 2 NFC Championships, 3 NFC West Championships. Went to 2 Super Bowls, won one, lost one. I'm complete. I'm full. I think the passion to play the game is no longer there for me. I will always love football, but to think about going through another camp and another 17 season, I just don't got the urge to want to push myself to do that no more. I'm burnt out. You know, if anything, the best way to say that, I'm full, I'm complete. I'm satisfied with what I was able to do in 10 years, and I think it's time for me to, at 32 years old, to retire from football and, you know, jump into the next step of my career in my life, and that's time to move on.
You could see his eyes were glazing up too. And good for him to realize that, to know.
Yeah,
to know. Because I'll tell you what, man, if you are not all in,
that's when bad
the
things
one
happen,
but the one place
defensive tackle
that you should make sure you are all in to go in is exactly where he's winding up.
Yeah.
Especially the attention he gets. Of all the videos that I saw when he retired, because he retired last week when I was out of the chair, of all the videos I saw as a professional, because the one that stands out was when he was in college, when he didn't know who got the football at the mesh point between the quarterback and the running back doing an RPO together, and he tackled them both. He sacked them both.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know which one of you has the ball, so I'll just take both of you down.
Richie had the QB in one arm, the running back in his other arm.
Amazing. And wrapped them both and took them both down. Correct. I think it was against the Dolphins I saw. And he was lined up outside, actually. That's the other thing, too. It's not just him playing the same position. He's all over the lot. So he's going against up left tackles much larger than him. And then centers who know exactly what they're doing with the football, and it's their first job to just hit him. Okay? So he's on the edge, and he's rushing the passer, and 3 Dolphins are blocking him, and a 4th one, an interior lineman, sees it's Aaron Donald coming 1-on-3 and decides to become the 4th man in. He got 4 blocker's attention. I mean, so I know it's easy for us to say, like, he makes it look so simple. He looks like he's still built like the brick, you know what. Mm-hmm. And he does it so well. It's just like, why wouldn't you do it again for $30 million? Well, you're not the one putting the body on the line and knowing what has to do. That's a fact. So he's moving to his next phase of his career. By the way, Marshall Faulk retired at age 32 as well.
Danny Tomlinson, right? Super young.
So yeah.
Calvin Johnson, obviously.
He's got a lot more to figure out what he wants to do with his life. So,
or he takes that year off and comes back.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I mean, Gronk did it. I don't know why it's so far-fetched.
I got it.
Barry Sanders only 31.
So
he retired.
Let's talk about somebody who's moving to somewhere else. Saquon Barkley, Giant to the Eagles. The Eagles posted this video. Saquon telling the moment where he told his young daughter about the move from the Giants to the Eagles, and out of the mouths of babes comes some of the most unvarnished truth. What the kids say, the darndest things.
Yep.
Check it out.
But my daughter, funny story with her, she knows there's a lot of history in my career with the Eagles. I remember one time when I was with the Giants and we lost to Philly in the playoffs, we went to diner to get some breakfast and there was a bird. And she was like, Daddy, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, what is it? She points to the bird and she was like, it's the Eagles, it's the Eagles. And me and Anna, you know, we just started laughing. And I just put my head down and kind of start shaking. So when I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now? And I just started smiling again. And I was like, hopefully we can win some more games here.
Does that mean we're going to win now?
Hey, Rich, remember when Saquon had a tweet and there was that little blue hat there? And
no cap.
I'm calling cap on that.
Oh, so this is one of those things. It happens on Twitter all the time where
my
daughter just said, blah, blah, blah. Like, stop lying. So you're calling Saquon a liar here?
I'm not calling him a liar. But
what are you calling him?
I'm saying,
or are you saying that he's not going to win more?
Well, that too, but
that's what I was taking it to.
Maybe a slight embellishment that his kid understands the Eagles and the Giants and winning football. I'm sure she knows that Daddy plays a game.
No, she knows that Daddy was in a playoff game and got smoked out of the playoffs by the Eagles. She saw that.
Oh,
so she equates.
I don't know, guys.
We're going to win.
It sounds like a sweet story.
Winning with the Eagles. And so now does that mean we're going to win?
Yeah, I get it. I feel like it sounds like a cute story.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a cynical person either, so you can't.
I'm not a cynical person. Let me just say the most cynical thing I could possibly think of.
One time in the history of this show that I've been the one to go, I don't know how sweet
TJ
and fuzzy.
TJ doesn't normally do that.
Thank you, Mike. I'm just saying.
He doesn't it normally sounds do a little
it's off like, brand. Doesn't mean it's not completely off.
I'm just saying.
The charts.
I mean, it is a little cynical. Too perfect.
It's not.
Like it's something that you write in a movie.
I'm
you know?
Just saying. An eagle, and she saw an eagle. I get it.
Oh, no, I'm afraid of a bird.
You said a bird. You
and
guys.
I an
Rich.
Eagle with a pigeon?
Rich, what are we doing with here?
I don't know.
As the individual with the most children in the room.
Oh, too perfect.
I mean, this is true.
These things happen, okay? You're just the fun uncle who shows up.
Hey, man.
All right?
Yeah, TJ.
You've just got
uncle.
The one
TJ.
Boy who's.
I'm the godfather, Rich.
I get you.
Getting older by the day. You just finished the. You're in the three-nager portion of his life.
Four now.
Now, I know. Yeah. You've just finished the three-nager. I get it. But as somebody with three kids, okay?
One off the books?
This one. Nope. Oh. No, three kids. Three kids.
Two
and you just said four, and I don't know why that. I know it sounded bad. One with three kids. I can count them. I'm not Antonio Cromartie over here, pal. I know him. I know him by name. I know the number and by name. Back off.
I can't even.
Back off. This is entirely plausible, is what I'm saying. I think it's wrong.
That's the greatest line I've ever.
Not
heard.
Everybody puts on airs and puts on stories. Just nobody does it. Nobody, not everyone does it. Okay.
I just teared up.
All right.
All right.
Michigan State up 15.
Oh, this thing's a wrap, isn't it?
I mean,
And Duquesne. I'm looking great. Right?
Duquesne's up. You're looking great. Yeah, two games in the NCAA tournament. You're going to have a perfect bracket. Look out, Warren Buffett.
I'm winning the whole thing.
He's going to give you the money.
Upset alert. Akron up three on Creighton.
No. That's Creighton, Akron. Creighton, Akron, 21. That's even. It's all even.
Creighton's up. No, Creighton's up three on
now.
That.
Creighton's up three. Oh, they were just down three ahead, a second ago.
No, I've got it all here. Let me handle the.
I'm watching the live.
I'm doing a live.
That was,
for
that was a very Pacino-like update.
My eyes see.
Something that's 5 minutes old.
Akron.
That's a score that doesn't actually happen anymore.
All right, coming up in 6 minutes, Long Beach State.
Yes,
in
Dan
Arizona.
Monson. Dan Monson. Oh, Arizona. By the way, the athletic director of Long Beach State said that he fired Dan Monson when he did to inspire the team.
Well, it worked.
My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. Bobby Smitherin told the Associated Press a few hours before Long Beach tipped off against Arizona, quote, "I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked," which I believe is Mike Del Tufo's life style mantra.
The hell going on?
You should take that, Mike. That's your thing. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked, which is exactly what you would say.
Yeah, that's a perfect right? Mike Del Tufo-ism right
so
there.
So Long Beach State, 100%. The athletic director, is the Mike Del Tufo of ADs. Well done. Larry David, LD, coming up.
Executive.
I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. Now, the athletic director said that he doesn't buy into the narrative that too much has been made of Monson was fired. I think this is really getting lost on people that we agreed that a change in leadership was necessary. This was something Coach Monson brought to me. Oh, my goodness.
Now, my question is, let's assume that they do well.
But they'd have to beat Arizona.
And they beat Arizona.
And what?
Does he get his job back?
That's what, Mike, well, we just said that.
I know
like
that. I'm
ago.
Saying, I know that. But I'm saying, seriously, you guys were joking about it.
No, you can't bring him back.
Yeah, he gets He's a better, gone, He right? gets a better job.
Okay.
You can't bring him back. You fired him.
This is happening, man.
The only person that gets fired and comes back is me from jobs.
I've seen that. I've actually
Fantastic.
Seen that.
Fantastic.
I've seen that live.
I'm going to shut up.
Here it comes.
There we go.
Yep, that's what we
said. There it goes.
There it goes.
Oh, my God.
Four games are going to be in action in 4 minutes' time. Yes. Look out. We're going to try and keep up to speed here.
I'm doing a CBS Red Zone.
Do you think Larry filled out a bracket?
I mean, why wouldn't he?
I don't know. Because I don't know much college basketball he pays attention to.
We didn't pay attention to any.
Yeah, I know that, but we also have a show, you know, like we need to be involved in this somehow. Some way.
How have they not done like a red zone type thing for this?
Yeah. Larry David has arrived. We'll see how quickly we can get him out here. Hour number three is coming up with the great Larry David.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day. Plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.